Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
The following episode of The Keegan Odyssey was recorded after we'd recorded part two and we hadn't realised that it had gone out because basically we're fucking idiots.
Yeah, I mean, you actually went to the trouble of putting it out, which is not a particularly short process. Yeah, you actually did it and then forgot.
That was before Christmas and I had a lot of sweets since then. We lost episode three and not episode two. So we did episode two again, mistakenly, but it turned out that 90% of it was different from the original episode
two.
Yeah,
because it had more Bob Marley in this as well.
There's a lot more Bob Marley and stuff about the history of cows. Mm. So we thought we'd put it out as a bonus for you.
My theories on evolution are outlined
pretty
here,
much,
which I've never had the opportunity to do before.
And as you said, some stuff about Bob Marley. So it's kind of like it's episode 2.5, if you like. Yeah. So there you go. Enjoy it.
Here we go. 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 This is it.
This is Top Flight Time Machine. I'm Andy Dawson.
I'm Sam Delaney.
And welcome to part two of The Keegan Odyssey. Mm. Hang on, is it part two?
It is, yeah.
Are you sure?
It's been a long time.
Wow, shit.
It's been a long gap.
Yeah, that's right, it is part two, because we ended part one with Kevin Keegan talking about being allowed to keep his cow on the town moor at Newcastle because he was made an honorary freeman of the city. Mm. He says it gave me all sorts of rights, such as being allowed to keep a cow in the town moor. It doesn't get much better than that, he says. I think you'll find life does get better than that. Don't
he
you
was
agree?
Being ironic, maybe. I don't know.
He's got an exclamation mark at the end of it as well.
So with his ghostwriter, he's gone, now, put a little exclamation, what do they call those things? An explanation mark?
Well, they're excitement marks.
Put one of them excitement marks. When I'm talking, always imagine that if I could actually say the word excitement mark at the end of everything I said, I would, but it would slow me down, because that's how I'm thinking all the time. Put it in there, because it shows people I'm saying it with a cheeky grin on my face.
If I stand up when I've said it, that means it's an excitement thing. So put an excitement mark at the end. But of course, we must remember that Kevin Keegan's ghostwriter in this autobiography was, of course, himself.
Oh yeah, he was his own ghostwriter. it works out financially.
We both get paid.
I read it to myself in the mirror, record it, then later on transcribe what I've written down
with my typewriter. Ding, 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 ding. So yeah, he's been allowed to keep his cow in the town moor. He says, Alan Shearer was honoured the same way a few years later, and I've told my former player... Ooh, bit of a power player there. I've told my former player... He's putting Shearer in his place there. He can put two cows on there if he likes, because I'm not using mine. So, do you think he still refers to the cow thing when he meets up with Shearer?
Hey! Like, hey.
Official function. Alan!
Oh. Alan, hey! Have you brought your cow, Alan? Oh, sorry. There's other people in the group. Sorry, if you don't know, it's a bit of an in-joke between me and Alan, isn't it, Alan? Alan Shearer just wearily rolling his eyes. Yes, Kevin.
Yeah,
We're both freemen of the city, aren't we, Alan? And we can both keep cows. But I've said to him, what do I always say? Go on, tell him. You say that you can have two cows because you don't use yours.
Yeah. So how's it then? How's it doing? How's the cow? Oh, it's not dead.
There is no cow. It's just an imaginary cow. All right, Alan, don't be a sourpuss. Just
play along with it.
Play along with it. I haven't seen you in ages.
Well, then he sort of qualifies it by saying, it was a lovely honour, but I would have swapped it in a shot for the elusive trophy that Newcastle have been chasing for longer than they probably wish to remember. So he's quite right. Newcastle fans would rather see a trophy in the trophy cabinet at St James's Park rather than two cows on the town moor, not really knowing what they're doing. Tethered, probably being ignored. Although, to be fair, If they did put the two cows of Keegan and Shearer on the Tamuwa, I think that would become a popular tourist attraction.
I don't think the Geordies would go and punch those cows.
They wouldn't punch those cows.
Because, you know, they like punching. They like punching farmyard animals. It's one of the sports up there. But I think that they would. I think those two cows, they're sacred. They'd be left.
They'd be a little bit like the Harry Potter shrine at King's Cross Station.
Yeah.
There'd be massive queues every day for people.
Not people running into it like they do in that magical platform.
No, they wouldn't do that.
I've seen people do that at King's Cross.
Yeah. The cow tipping.
Silly bastards.
Cow tipping. It's similar to that, isn't it? Because that was popular for a while.
I don't like cow tipping. What's your thoughts on it?
I am also against cow tipping.
Do you know who do it? Twats.
Twats, yeah. And cunts.
You'd have to be a twat or a cunt or both to go and tip over a fucking cow.
Yeah.
The thing about cows is they don't even want to be here. You know it's not natural that cows exist.
Really?
In evolutionary terms, there is no role that a cow can play. They are kept, they are bred artificially in order to service our hunger.
Our need for milk.
For
and
our
beef.
Hunger for milk and beef, right? But they shouldn't. They don't really need to be there. And so against their own will, they are grown in laboratories, effectively, and stood in freezing cold fields all over the fucking world, right? Just so they can be eventually slaughtered and eaten. And while they are still alive, if they're not just fucking standing around being bored, they're having their tits wanked off for milk and cheese, etc.
And
it's a terrible life. And then, as if it couldn't get any worse, some fucking student called Tarquin, pissed up and maybe on acid,
jumps into a field,
fucking comes up to you in the middle of the night when you're trying to get some kip and pushes you over down a fucking hill.
Do they sleep standing up, cows?
I think so. I don't know.
They lie down when it's going to rain, don't they?
If they weren't
lying down,
I think, you know, a cow's got to be sleeping for you to be able to creep up on it to push it over. Or at least daydreaming heavily. At least,
stand up!
At least resting its eyes.
Yeah, its self-defending eyes. Should we do a cow podcast one day?
I think there's a lot of fucking mileage in a cow podcast. First guest, Kevin Keegan. Yeah. Hey, you picked the right fella for this.
What's this then? Stars and their cows? Oh, I love this.
Hey, you know who else you should get on? Alan Shearer. He's got a cow. No, they should. I mean, no one would bother that cow. Because they're the two ultimate saints of Geordie land, aren't they?
Yeah,
I mean, is there anyone else more?
There would be...
Jackie Milburn.
Yeah,
he's probably got a cow.
There would be a signifier. They would be, you know, those two men almost define Newcastle United.
They'd be branded with their faces.
They could be. They could have... Could you get a recreation of their faces put onto the cow's faces?
That would ruin the cow look,
In the same
look,
way that some football managers wear the faces of other football
You know
managers.
How cows have really sexy eyes?
Yeah, with the big eyelashes.
Yeah, when,
like
you look in,
on Magic Roundabout.
When you look into a cow's eyes, you actually do want to sex it.
Yeah.
But then you realise it's a cow and you think, what the fuck am I thinking? Then you look at its big, ugly nose.
You could just wank its tits instead.
Yeah, that's how it starts.
That's probably
how milk's got invented.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, think, who've discovered milk?
Yeah.
Weird, right?
Exactly.
Fucking farmers looking at the cow, thinking, you are much fitter than my wife, because it was probably medieval time, so everyone was pretty ugly, because there was no toothpaste or anything, or soap.
Or shampoo.
So his wife's like a crone, a medieval crone. I'm not dissing her, he's probably not a looker either.
He'd have been a fucking nightmare.
Yeah, he'd have been even more ugly and stinks. But he's out in the field thinking, oh, fucking hell, in a certain light.
I've got these cows, I don't know why.
These cows who are hanging around, what, stray cows? One of them's really fit. I'm going to wank its tit off. Whoa, it's spunked up. Put that spunk in the bucket.
I might as well have a taste of it while I'm here.
Yeah, put that spunk in the bucket. Wait, it tastes all right. I tell you what else you should do with that spunk. Leave it and let it curdle for fucking ages. And once it turns hard, eat it on a bit of toast. It's the most disgusting, perverted journey that humankind has ever been on.
Yeah.
And now look at us. The dairy industry's a multi-billion industry.
What's the name of that fellow who invented the internet? Tim Berners-Lee.
Tim Berners-Lee.
Taylor. He's nothing compared to the fellow that first wanked a cow off.
Yeah, absolutely right, because there was more imagination in wanking off a cow.
What's more important to us, the internet or milk, butter and cheese?
Yeah, especially cheese.
Especially
that's the thing. I mean, although I've sort of suggested to you that I don't think cows should exist, I couldn't live without cheese, mate.
It'd be a sad day when cows go extinct, when the last one dies.
And the other thing is, milk chocolate is delicious.
God,
and without cow's milk, I think they do make it with vegetable oil in America, don't they?
Double cream, trifle. custard.
Yeah, you're right.
Can't live without cows.
I wonder if you could do something similar with... I bet if we Googled it, we'd find someone who was up to something similar, but with man spunk.
I think we could Google that, yeah. But let's not, because we're using the Wi-Fi here at TalkSport.
Yeah.
It's probably got a block on it.
Well, you say that. Some of the presenters...
Now you've mentioned it, yeah. I can think of one or two. Anyway.
This and that.
Let's move on to the next bullet point that we've got on our list. He met the Queen.
Yes.
He got some award from the Queen.
Of course
MBE,
he did.
MBE,
I mean,
or an OBE, one of them. I haven't got it down here.
I mean, if any footballer, as we were at pains to remind people while we were having a laugh at Keegan's expense, Keegan is a... People forget, and we said it in the first podcast, you remember the rant, you remember the England meltdown,
yeah,
blah, 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 the second spell at Newcastle. Forget all of that. Even forget his first spell as Newcastle manager. Keegan, the player, was a bona fide superstar who has probably personally achieved more than most England players in the history of football.
Exactly. I mean, I think we get onto it later on. He does a bit where he talks about his lifetime achievements, but we'll get to that. But he went to Buckingham Palace to accept his award, and he says, "I even tried a little bit of Keegan humour with Her Majesty."
Oh,
let's see how this goes. As she passed down the line, the Queen's first words when she reached me were, "Oh, you've been around a long time, haven't you?" He says, "I gave a little bow and tried my best to make her laugh. Yes, ma'am, some people think possibly too long."
Hey,
oh, that's the Keegan humour there.
Now, can you see I've stood up? What does that mean? Has he used an excitement mark after that?
No, he hasn't used an excitement mark there. Probably just out of respect for Her Majesty. He doesn't want to convey excitement in the presence of the
Queen.
No,
doesn't want to distress the monarch.
But he says, at which point she peered at me inquisitively. "Is it possible for one to be around too long?" she asked.
Do you see that? Go on, finish.
You make a point, because...
The Queen saying that annoys me, because the Queen does need a lot of small talk up her sleeve. She's meeting all sorts of cunts every day, and she's got to fucking play nice.
Yeah.
And it probably gets boring, whatever. But I've heard Prince Charles do this before. What they do is they try to say things. They try to pose questions to make themselves appear to be sort of deep and intellectual and philosophical.
Yeah.
And I heard Prince Charles do it once.
Right.
Because... I saw him being... Sometimes, you know, obviously, like you, Andy, I'll YouTube old footage of him and Lady Di when they were first together.
Just to remember.
Just to remember the happier times. And they've got engaged, and someone says to them, one of the newspapers says, "Yes, you're just like any other normal couple." And Prince Charles goes, "Yes, whatever normal means."
Yeah.
Right? And he thinks that's a clever thing to say, but it isn't. It's trite. It's trite. And then the Queen is doing the same here. She goes, "Is it possible?" He's given us some banter. She can't handle it because she doesn't. She's got no fucking banter.
No.
She's a banter-free zone. That's the thing about the Queen.
Monarch.
Right? She's shit at it.
When was the last monarch we had? It was good with
who
the banter.
It was Bantankerous.
Yeah.
Henry VIII.
Do you reckon?
Probably.
Victoria?
No, she was a miserable cow, wasn't she?
Yeah.
Especially after her husband died. She fucking took it out
on
everyone.
Probably right. Probably Henry VIII, yeah.
Henry VIII had superb banter. And obviously, the madness of King George, whatever.
He had banter, but with a tinge of mental illness.
Yeah, I don't know if it counts as banter if you're actually clinically insane.
Yeah, you're probably right there.
So she's got no banter. And so she thinks, well, I can't let fucking Double K have the last word.
Yeah.
The cunt, he's done me. There all ends up. Yes, Your Majesty, some people think too long.
Yeah.
Right. And so she said, I'm the fucking Queen. I've got to have the last word.
I can't leave this.
So she's given it. Is it possible for one to be along? Like, oh, I'm going to fuck you up here by being all intelligent. And probably Keegan, bless him, might have been a bit befuddled by that. What are you talking about? Oh, no, you sent me spinning into an existential crisis, Your Majesty.
She's fucked off.
Flaming heck, come back. What did you mean by that?
And then he says...
What do you mean we won't be alive forever?
And then he says... Then she moved off without waiting for an answer.
Bitch.
She's just gone.
Power play. Burn. Power play.
Yeah.
Bam. And you shouldn't do that to Kevin Keegan, because he's got an innocent childlike mind. He has never, until that moment, contemplated his own mortality.
He's trying to engage with her there, and she's just basically knocked him down and gone, "I'm the Queen, fuck you," and walked off.
Yeah.
Is it possible to
Your Majesty. Your Majesty. Hey, I bet you own a few cows, don't you? Come on, don't be a sourpuss. Give us a tickle, right? All that sort of malarkey. And she stared him straight in the face and she's gone. everyone you know and have ever known will one day be dead. And then she's held his stare really seriously. Yeah. She just whispered it to him so no one else can hear.
Yeah.
You, all your family and friends and everyone you've ever met will all be dead. Soon.
Ooh.
Ta-da. Soon.
Threat.
And he's gone, what? Come back, Your Majesty. What do you mean by that?
Explain that, please.
I've never thought that. Are you joking? Oh, my God, she's right. Everyone does die in the end. Oh.
I'm going to make some phone calls.
Bloody hell.
A lot of people to say goodbye to.
Oh, Gordon Bennett. What? Even Terry Mack. Yes, Key. Yes, Double K. Even Terry Mack. Oh, flaming Nora.
Oh, I got myself in a ride too, innit? Yeah.
Oh, at the palace as well. I had to go off to the Royal Kazi for a quick cry. And then I was right as rain. I had a quick word with myself.
And I went off on one of those open top tour buses around London for the afternoon. It was fantastic. I think I saw Roy Keane on the back of a motorbike at one point.
And at the end, we all went to Planet Hollywood and had milkshakes. I felt flipping fandabby-dozy after that.
Double thumbs.
Jalapeño.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Jalapeño.
He goes back to talking about the end of his time in football, which was when he left Newcastle after the second time. His final game as a manager was a 3-0 defeat at Arsenal in September 2008 that will probably always be remembered for the television cameras picking out Mike Ashley in the away end, where he proceeded to down a pint in roughly the same amount of time it has taken you to read this sentence.
So power play.
He's not bitter at all about his final hurrah in football being Mike Ashley. Mike Ashley breaking the law there, incidentally. If he sat in the away end
with
a pint,
that.
You're not allowed pints.
No.
If he's been in the executive area, fair enough. I don't even think you're allowed to be an executive.
You're not allowed to drink it at pitch side.
Anywhere where you can see the match taking place, you're not allowed to drink. I think that's the rule. So if you shut your eyes while you have a drink, I think that's legal. I think that's allowable. But if you can see the match through your eyes, you're not allowed to be having a drink.
Yeah, they hand out branded, at some grounds, the modern ones like the Majetski or something like that, they hand out branded
blindfolds
like the Heineken branded or Foster's Ice.
Yeah.
Foster's Ice blindfold. And you put it on. And if you do that, you can actually have a pint and a fag.
Really?
Yeah.
Right.
But not a wank.
I couldn't.
Don't ask me how I know that, but you are not allowed to
do... Especially not the Majeski.
You're not allowed to do the Holy Trinity.
I don't know if I could... I'd do a fag with the blindfold on. That'd be
You could end up injuring yourself.
Yeah.
Poking yourself, holding the fag the wrong way around, stick it in your own eye.
Yeah, fuck that. So, yeah, Mike actually drank the pint in roughly the same amount of time it has taken you to read this sentence. Put that, because that signifies a short period of time. Put that down.
Oh, I thought of a great one. He drank a pint in about as much time as it would take, let's think, for me at the peak of my career to run 50 metres. No, it's a bit wordy, that. Oh, I know. Speedy Gonzales to run out and steal a bit of cheese. No.
How about the intro to Don't You Want Me by the Human League? No, it's
actually quite long, that. Oh, I know. What about then my ghostwriter, brackets me, came up with a real gem. How about in the time it took to read this sentence? Wallop.
Do you think the sequel to this book is going to be a book about the writing of this book?
Yeah.
By him and his ghostwriter.
Behind the scenes.
Yeah. It'll be about him, the relationship between him and his ghostwriter, but with
we fell out
a different
badly.
Ghostwriter. Yeah. Him again.
But a different side of Double K.
talking about the other ghostwriter who he doesn't speak to anymore. Yeah, we'll do a deep dive on that as well. He says as well, it wasn't just Mike's beer guzzling that upset me that day. It was the fact that Tony Jimenez, the executive who'd been put in charge of Newcastle's transfer business, had informed me we were spending £5.7 million on a Spanish player called Cisco, whom nobody from the club had ever seen play. I also found out a Uruguayan by the name of Ignacio Gonzalez was joining us as a, inverted commas, favour for two South American agents. Oh.
Mm.
And he said he was being told to park this player. That's quite controversial, isn't it?
I've never heard of this before, but since reading it, it's made me reassess millions
all
of transfer
deals ever done.
So many West Ham transfers. I bet you can think of several Sunderland transfers where you think, that fucking nobody came for quite a lot of money.
£3.5 million,
never
paid for
played
us.
In the Carabao once or twice. And then just disappeared again. What was that all about? It makes no sense.
We parked him.
Fucking parked.
Fucking parkers.
Well, the classic is...
He's in the lid there, isn't he?
Is Tevez and Mascherano. And that was almost openly done. We'll park him.
Mm.
Park him at West Ham and then move him on the following season.
Yeah. With that, did you actually buy them? Or were they on loan?
Oh, it's all vague, isn't it?
Took ownership of them.
Mm. There was a third party. They were owned by, effectively... a people trafficking organisation, and we did a deal with them. That's actually true. I mean, really, it's slavery. They were owned by a corporation.
Coming in 3 a.m. Wednesday down the docks. There's a load of fanny powder in there, but there's a couple of Argentines in there as well. I don't want you to look at them or speak to them. They're coming out straight away before the fanny powder even comes out. There'll be a taxi coming for them. Don't worry about it. You just focus on the fanny powder.
Now, watch yourself, though, because if they have been at the fanny powder on the way over, they might be a bit volatile when you get in there. They'll have been starved of natural daylight for weeks.
They might go for your eyes.
Yeah.
As soon as you open the container.
Just be quick. Get in and out nice and quick.
Get one of them blindfolds on. I got you from the Majeski. Put that on in case they go for your eyes. But other than that, they'll be fine.
Yeah, they were Parkers. And poor old Keegan, again, the innocent, everyone else in football knows all about this.
Yeah.
What? I don't understand, Mr. Ashley.
You want me to park them? I never parked Rob Lee. I never parked John Beresford when I signed him.
Warren Barton wouldn't park him even if you had told him to.
They were good, honest players. I got them in to do a job, and a job they did.
They played football even when there weren't a game on.
He says, life moves on. I have far too much in my favour to be engulfed by bitterness. My affections for Newcastle aren't diminished just because of the unpleasantness with, and then he lists names, Mike Ashley, Tony Jimenez, Dennis Wise, Derek Lambias, and assorted others.
Jesus.
Would I be tempted back for a fourth spell? Keegan 4, if you like, if a takeover meant new owners and a club no longer powered by the theory of chaos. Keegan 4, the theory of chaos.
The search for Terry Mack. No, that was Keegan 3.
Yeah. He says, no, that ship has sailed, but I do retain an exhilarating vision. The thing about me is I retain an exhilarating vision.
Right. Now, he said to his ghostwriter, ask me, and this bit, ask me, would I go back to Newcastle? Okay, would you ever go back to Newcastle? What, you mean if it was no longer powered by the theory of chaos? Yes, I suppose that is what I mean. No, I wouldn't. And then he whispers, I would really, but don't write that down.
That ship has sailed, he says, but I do retain an exhilarating vision of what could happen if Newcastle were reignited in the way that happened in the 1990s. Sad stuff.
Sad stuff, yeah.
What's even sadder is that he talks then about strangers constantly getting him to recreate the rant pose.
Oh, yeah.
With the headphones and the finger stabbing and all of that. He says, strangers shout the critical two words to me from car windows. Autograph hunters tell me they would love it if I could sign their pieces of paper. One family, Fred, had love it as his ringtone. And when I go to charity events, I'm often asked to sign photographs showing me in that classic pose. Headphones on, finger jabbing, blazing eyes. Mm. The eyes were blazing, weren't they? Remember?
Yeah, they were. They were on fire.
And strangely enough, those pictures tend to be auctioned for a lot more money than the ones where I'm playing for England or any of my clubs. How does he know about how much photographs of him get auctioned?
I got a tracker program,
eBay.
I get alerts on me, what do you call it, my electric telephone. It goes ping, and anywhere in the world, I've got a map.
Photos
anywhere in the
world,
someone is trying to sell a photo of me. I see the price straight away, even if none of it's owed to me. It means I can write to them and say, I think it's only fair you give me a percentage of the sale that I know for a fact you made yesterday of my image.
Allardyce would do that, but then no one's selling pictures of Allardyce, are they?
No. we should try.
Yeah. He says, I've heard all the gags 1,000 times, and for the generations who aren't old enough to remember me as a player, that is probably what they know me for, the rant. That's life, and I'm comfortable enough in my own skin to see the funny side.
Good attitude.
I love that phrase, comfortable in your own skin.
Yeah.
It's good, that.
I think it's a good attitude he's got.
Yeah. He doesn't get knocked down, does he?
It probably does bother him a little bit, or he wouldn't be bringing it up, but he's right to say, you know, he's almost assuring himself by writing those words down. It's almost like he's talking to him. Well, he is literally talking to himself, but it's like he's giving himself therapy.
Yeah.
I'm fine about it. I've got loads more going for me. And it's like, yeah, that's positive affirmation. You have, Double K. You've got a lovely family. You've got your health. And you've got a trophy cabinet full of honours.
Yeah. When he talks again about the love it thing, and he says, it's even part of my routine when I'm giving speeches because, heck, if you cannot laugh at yourself, who can you laugh at?
Heck indeed. Heck. Great use of the word heck, Keegan. Heck in hell. Oh, heck in hell, Terry.
Heck in Nora.
We've blown the title again. What the heck's going on here, lads?
He says, after all these years and everything I've done in my career, it never ceases to amaze me how many people seem to think my lifetime's achievements have nothing to do with football and consist of, in rough order, here's another list, ladies and gentlemen, the time I crashed off my bike on Television Superstars, crashed off my bike.
Oh, play me neck, I've crashed off my bike. Stop the show.
That's like something an 8-year-old would say.
I crashed off my bike. Mum!
It's bleeding! My knee's bleeding! The time I crashed off my bike on Superstars, my perm, and my top 40 record with Head Over Heels in Love, which only got to like number 32, I think. It wasn't even a big hit.
And maybe it got to number one in Germany.
Undoubtedly.
I think he was in Germany at the time.
Yeah, he was. Yeah, it would have been massive in Germany.
Yeah.
Do you think the British snubbed it? In the way they thought he'd snubbed us by going to Germany, you think it was our chance?
Do you think
was that the
national climate at the time that our superstar footballer had gone to Germany and that was a betrayal?
Well, it was just weird, wasn't it? Nobody really understood what he'd done or why he'd done it.
Who else went there? Woodcock
went as well.
Was it just him? And
Woodcock now, I think he's lived there ever since. He's got like a bizarre semi-German accent, Tony Woodcock.
Oh, I'd love to see that. I'll look on YouTube afterwards.
Google Tony Woodcock interview. Has he got an autobiography? We'll do that.
Fucking wants to.
We'll do it, I mean, just for the voices.
Germany's not a bad place. And the other thing is, if you get to number one in Germany, it's more impressive, isn't it? Because it's a much bigger country with a bigger population.
Yeah.
I mean, we do write off the Germans a little bit and think it's just a daft little country with people with mallets.
Never write off the Germans.
Yeah. But, you know,
if history has taught us anything, it's to
never
off
underestimate
the Germans.
Them. They're always secretly rebuilding their fucking armed forces somewhere in hidden bunkers. Anyway.
Keegan, Head Over Heels in Love, got to number 31 in the UK, number 20 in Austria, and only number 10 in Germany. So the German chart must have been a very tough nut to crack.
I think Kevin Keegan, really, people who know football and are of a certain age know full well that there's more to Keegan than what the list of things he just said. But when you meet Kevin Keegan, like when you meet anyone very famous and you have a chance to converse with them and you're not the Queen doing power plays, you don't want to power play someone like Kevin Keegan. What you want to do is have a conversation opener that you feel won't be boring and that might have a chance of actually engaging them in a little bit more of a conversation than just nice. I think people think wrongly that if they said something like, remember that time you won European Player of the Year?
Yeah.
or you won the league with Hamburg or whatever.
Top scorer in the top league with Southampton.
Yeah.
Unfashionable club at the time.
They think that's boring career stuff, yeah. But I'll show that I have deeper insight to him. I know the better stuff. It's like if you met an artist, one of your favourite musical artists, right?
Yeah. Bob Marley.
Yeah. If you met Bob Marley tomorrow, right? Because turns out he wasn't dead. He'd faked it like Tupac. Yeah. Right. You would not go, "Hey, Bob, I love No Woman, No Cry," because he'd roll his eyes and go, "Ras, man, that's a clicker. Is that the only one you know, man?
You got a dickhead."
Yeah, Ras Clat, right? You'd think of a fucking B-side, wouldn't you? You'd go, "Hey, on Could You Be Loved, the version that was only released in Australia, there's that great B-side." Yeah. So I don't know why I'm doing Keegan's voice for you now.
I'm Keegan, and being introduced to the ghost of Bob Marley.
You'd imagine that he'd go, "Ras, you are a proper fan. You know my back catalogue inside out.
High five.
High five. Come on. Come and smoke this zoot with me." And sing backing vocals.
So what should I say if I meet Bob Marley? Should I say that?
Yeah, come up with a B-side, because it's better.
There was a bit on the Primal Scream documentary that was on before Christmas, yeah, on BBC 4, where Noel Gallagher was talking about the first time he ever met Bobby Gillespie at Primal Scream. And Noel said that Bobby asked him, "What's your favourite Bob Marley B-side?"
No.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. And he said he knew then they'd be like mates for life.
That's a twatty thing to say.
If Bobby Gillespie came up to me and said, "What's your favourite Bob Marley B-side?" I would have said, "It's fucking this."
Yeah.
Stuck
there
my
you go,
in
mate.
His face.
Swivel on that. Yeah. That's my fucking favourite A-side and B-side.
You fucking floppy head cunt.
Yeah. I thought for a while Bobby Gillespie was stalking me. In the 90s, I bumped into him in four different places.
Really?
Once in Brighton,
yeah,
I was a student. He was walking along in the North Lane. If you know Brighton, you'll know where that is. And he's come and he's with a young lass, and he's clocked me in this shop.
Right.
And he's pointed at me and whispered to the young lass, and the young lass has come over.
Journal cunt.
No, I was a student.
No, you were a student.
I was a student.
Oh, right, you were nothing then.
I was a nobody. And he said, she said, "Oh, can you tell us where you got your jacket from?" Ooh. I was really chuffed.
Was it like a one with a cowskin one with fringes on it?
Yeah. And tasseled arms.
Yeah.
I was also wearing cowboy boots. There's the 90s. That was my look then.
It was Brighton.
Yeah. I was wearing a gigantic Stetson as well.
You're dressed up as a cowboy.
Anyone who knows me or knew me in the Britpop era knew that I shunned the Britpop look and dressed as a cowboy at all times. And Gillespie liked that. And then another time I was at Euro 96 in the same era, and I was coming, and it was half time of Italy versus Germany at Old Trafford.
Gillespie.
I've come out of a toilet cubicle at half time, yeah, right? Who's fucking standing right outside?
Bobby Gillespie.
Almost doing a bit like that Squirt did to you on the train. Like, kind of. He wasn't banging, but he was standing right outside. So when I opened the door, I had to jump back. Whoa! Fucking Bobby Gillespie.
Why would he have been in a hurry to get into the toilet?
Well, yeah, in the 90s. Yeah, half-time of Euro 96. A lot of people doing a shit in this toilet. Bit weird. They must have put something funny in the pies.
It doesn't smell weird, though.
Yeah. He's like, "Oh, it's you, the cowboy." He recognised me. "Didn't I see you in Brighton the other day?" Yeah, that's right. And I'm still not telling you where I got this awesome jacket from. And then another time I saw him at a gig in London. And then I saw... This is so boring. Then I saw him in New York once. Anyway, that's the end of my Bobby Gillespie story. Cut that out. It's a shit story.
No, I'm keeping it in. That's all we've got time for in this episode.
Power play. You just power played me.
We've got through... Well, I've got the editor's tools.
Yeah.
I have the power. We've got through five of our points on our list, but we've also looked at the invention of cows and their inevitable destruction. And we've also... met Bobby Gillespie a few times, so it hasn't been
and
a waste of time.
Bob Marley is not dead. He's a ghost. And always was. If you have a favourite Bob Marley B-side that you would like to recommend to me and Andy, then write it on a piece of paper, screw it up and shove it up your bumhole.
We'll be back next week with another part of the Keegan Odyssey. Thanks for listening. Bye-bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.